Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. We just checked the traffic again, and the Bay Bridge actually looks really good right now, which is surprising. But I do want to say, I guess a listener texted us that there was a jackknifed big rig on the Bay Bridge. When you do run in, we're not checking the traffic all the time. Everybody's got the apps, and you know, I think that's fine. If there's a big accident and something you think we should know about, big backup, go ahead and text us. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
I appreciate it.
Tickets for Jelly Roll and Post Malone. How about we do that now? Mm-hmm. By the way, it's Thursday, 1 week from today. You're definitely going to be in a fight with your in-laws. Oh my God, it's going to be great. Plus, turkey. Tickets for Jelly Roll and Post Malone, they go on sale this coming Tuesday to the general public. But you can win them every hour on all day today. From 6 o'clock in the morning we started this until 6 o'clock this evening with Janie. Right now, text the word FAVOR, F-A-V-O-R, FAVOR, to 20357. That's our contest text line, 20357. Text FAVOR, and you'll be entered to win tickets for Jelly Roll and Post Malone July 1st at Oracle Park, courtesy of Live Nation. This hour's code word is FAVOR. We'll have another code word for you in 1 hour. Right now, do it. And perhaps you can forget about the on-sale date. You can just be like, I already have tickets for that. I'm all set. Thank you. This part of the show is brought to you by the SF Zoo, making a difference in conservation both locally and globally by supporting work to protect and save species. Your visit supports their mission to connect, conserve, and care. Open daily, including Thanksgiving. Send the in-laws to the zoo. Be like, ah, we're working on the day. Go. You'll have a great time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. Visit sfzoo.org. for tickets and membership information. All right. So you remember Barbenheimer last year? Get ready.
Yes.
Get ready for Glicked. So this is this weekend, Gladiator 2 and Wicked.
Oh,
they both open tomorrow. They say it's a similar situation. It's like, it's as though, I blame Bennifer. Whichever Bennifer you prefer. I don't feel that we need to be doing this with our names of things. The Glicked thing. Okay. Fun. It's just fun. Why do I care? I just feel like they're looking for these opportunities. It's like every single weekend, more than one movie opens.
Wicked looks so great visually. And I can't believe, I know that Ariana Grande is a incredible singer. I did not know the other lady, what's her name?
Cynthia and Erivo.
I did not know she was also a world-class singer.
We've seen her in stuff, and I've never seen her sing.
Right. So, but people have written in, and then I've looked it up, and I realize she's a top-notch singer. It's probably why she was cast in the role. But they haven't shown in the ads for this thing. It's so visually stunning. They haven't shown once. They have not shown someone singing that I've seen. That's a pretty neat thing to be able to keep that out of the ads when that's a big part of this play, right?
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're doing that because they want our doors to be blown off when we get in there.
I think so. And I think luckily the visuals are so stunning. They probably went, we don't need to shoot our whole load here.
Right.
We can just show people what it looks like. And then the songs will be it's going to be a complete surprise for me. If you've seen the play, I know you, and you mentioned it yesterday, like some of those songs are your favorites.
They're great. It's a great soundtrack. However, I would be blown away if they didn't have a bunch of new songs in there. They're splitting this thing into two movies, and I am willing to bet there are going to be 10 more hit songs in this. Like whenever, I don't know, maybe the soundtrack comes out tomorrow as well. I have no idea. But the songs from the play are great. They really are. I bet you that there's a bunch more and that, I don't know, maybe people are even talking about it already. I haven't like done a deep dive into it. However, one thing I will tell you, because I have a thing here that I posted up. I'm going to just talk about some Wicked stuff and some Glicked or whatever. But one of the things I did was on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page, I took this BuzzFeed story about I think it's 17 things that are surprising from the set. And I definitely didn't find all 17 of them surprising, but we'll do a few of those. And one of them is that supposedly these two women, Cynthia and Ariana, said, this is not working as we lip sync this. we want to sing this. We want to sing it live. Now, I'm sure, because they're saying it's 100% live. I'm like, I don't know if that can be. You do more than one take. You do it. You shoot it from different angles. Like, that would be really, really difficult to do. So I don't know how much of that is really true. Maybe they just sang along as they did it. But it's that's what they're saying, is that they made these sets in such a way that they could actually capture that sound as well, which is, it seems so incredibly difficult. And some of these sets, they built a lot. Like, you know, now I always picture a warehouse with green sides and that, and people on wires flying all around doing stuff. If you go and look at this thing from BuzzFeed, there are set photos, and I'll get to it in a minute. It really is. They spent a lot of time building actual places. I'll run down that.
By the way, the soundtrack comes out the same day as the movie.
Okay. So that's tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow.
Yeah. And on a normal week, we'd be here and would play you all the new hit songs.
Well, when you see...
But we're not.
I mean, movies are big business. They they have huge budgets, and you usually do see a set where you go, they built that whole thing for that one scene.
Right.
So, yeah, they do. They go all out, and as they should. These are, in some cases, billion-dollar profit machines.
I feel like this will be one of those billion-dollar movies. I mean, maybe I'm just crazy, but... So, Barbenheimer, two summers ago. Well, now we've got Gladiator 2 and Wicked. They both open tomorrow. They're both expected to do big business. I have the estimates. First off, who do you think will make the most money?
Wicked.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep, Wicked. How much do you think Gladiator... Well, let's see. How much do you think Wicked will make? I have the estimates here. And let me to compare it.
You mean like the first weekend?
The first weekend, the opening weekend. For the record, Barbie opened with $162 million back in July of 2023, and Oppenheimer made $82.5 million.
And what are the two films we're talking about?
Wicked and Gladiator 2.
See, I'm not interested in Gladiator 2 at all.
And apparently it's not, what's the Rotten Tomatoes on that? I think it was okay, right? 70%?
No, it was good. It was,
80% maybe?
It was high 70s. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is this?
This was...
I don't even know if we looked that up.
Yeah, I don't know if we did. What is the pre-score here on Wicked?
The pre-score, 92%. Wow.
Oh, boy. And the popcorn meter is 99%.
Wow.
What's the difference between the tomato meter and the popcorn meter? Is that like reviewers or... The people who actually went?
I believe the tomato meter is actual movie reviewers, and the other one is verified
audience.
Yeah, audience.
You know, okay. I always try to ask people about this stuff because I don't think I'm a traditional or normal movie-going person. I don't really want to go to a movie. Like, a movie theater experience isn't what I'm after. You know, when you hear people go, you've got to see it in a... I don't, actually. Right. I'm fine at home.
Be fine.
That's why I asked Maddie, and Maddie said straight up, yes, I'm excited for Gladiator 2.
I am, but I don't know which one I'll see this weekend because, it depends. I'm going to be down in L.A.
Oh, you're going to go see Wicked then? Yeah. That's what Sean is going to want to see. Don't be silly. Wicked.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. That's good, though.
Well, you're going to see both eventually, so what's the difference?
Yeah, no, but they're both ones I would need to see in the theater. I need to see them on IMAX.
See, there you go. There's another person experience.
I'll sit in my house and have my... Although I will, if I have time in the afternoon, I'll sometimes go to a movie as long as they have kettle corn there. I would never go to a movie if they didn't have kettle corn. that's the line I draw. All right, so Glicked... Gladiator 2 and Wicked, both open tomorrow, both expected to do big business. I was asking you, what do you think the projections are for Wicked for the opening weekend?
This is what I'll say. I can't, again, I don't know that I've got my finger on the pulse of the audience world. I do know that Christina has told me Wicked is the best play she's ever seen. And she's seen a lot of them, including Hamilton, which everyone was like, that's the thing to see is Hamilton.
Right. Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, no, it was great, but Wicked. So I'm going to say 130 million.
I'll say 129 million.
Oh, they're estimating 100 to 110. So You guys are right in the range there. I frankly think it could easily go to 130.
The Barbie and
Barbenheimer.
I think we were still kind of coming out of that funk of the movies not really being a place we were going.
Yeah.
No,
and so that was a big comeback for the movies. And I think we're back to normal now. Like, I've been to movies. I went last weekend.
Right.
You know, I had
the greatest pageant.
Whatever ever. It was, it was good. I won't recommend it to anybody because it's very family oriented. It's not funny. There's no nudity. There's no bombs. There's no superheroes. It's highly likely you'll come back to me and go, I want my money, punk. So no recommendation for you, but I enjoyed it.
The estimates for Gladiator 2 are that it will finish second with about 65 million. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Both big. That's a big, you know.
I just don't care about the Gladiator at all.
Did you watch the first one?
Yeah.
I never saw the
first
one.
And that was 20 years ago.
You know why I didn't see the first one? Because I saw a trailer where the lion is, just walks up to the guy, just is pawing him. I'm like, oh, geez. You know what I don't need to see? What happens next? No, thanks.
And that was like 100 pounds ago for Russell Crowe.
Oh.
Like, he's become a completely other person now, and I'm not... He's just not that young man anymore. That was right. Isn't that the movie?
Is he
that,
in this one?
No.
No, he was in the first one, though, and it kind of broke him, didn't it?
I don't know if it broke him, but...
Yeah, I think he was already a star, but that was definitely an absolute hit movie, for sure.
Yeah.
He was younger, though. When did that come out? 20 years ago?
I'm looking.
Let me see if I can find anything on that.
Well, in the meantime, I'll tell you this. Back to Glicked. Actually, this is just a wicked story.
2000.
2000.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 25 years ago.
Yeah, easily. 25 years and 100 pounds, Vinny.
And right after that, he made A Beautiful Mind in 01.
Oh, that was a
He was on
was
a
big
roll
movie.
For yeah. a minute there. And I don't see anything prior to...
And then he started like hucking phones at people and... being a problem.
He was in something called, L.A. Confidential was big.
Oh,
that was
you
in 97.
That broke a lot of people. Wasn't that Charlize Theron's first vehicle, too? Or was
and
hers
Kevin Spacey's in that, it looks like.
All right.
And he was in The Quick and the Dead. Wasn't that Sharon Stone's movie?
I don't know.
I think you reported she gave up, someone gave up their money in order to get Leo DiCaprio to star in it.
Oh, right.
Isn't that right?
That does sound really familiar.
So he had a couple films prior to Gladiator, but I think Gladiator
was a big hit movie.
Gladiator's when he became a leading action star.
Right, A-list.
Yeah, I think Master and Commander came a couple years after that. People, that was a big one for him, too.
Oh, remember right after... Oh, this is so funny. It's not funny. Certainly not to Dennis Quaid. Remember right after Gladiator, he did a movie called Proof of Life with Meg Ryan and it broke up her marriage.
Oh, yeah. And he was like, nah. And she was like, wait, but yeah, though.
I just
ditched all the...
Blew up everything. Right. And including my movie screen rom-com.
And my lips. I blew my lips
and
for you.
And
I blew
say.
Up my face for you.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. All right. Well.
Anyway, if you're a big Wicked fan and you're psyched for the movie, please, AMC Theaters is asking you, don't sing along. And it is true that they have screenings where it is a sing-along and the words are there and it's encouraged and it's specifically for that. But I will tell you, as someone who has had to shush someone before, no one wants to hear you sing. They came to hear Cynthia and Ariana sing. Or whoever you're seeing
you of
in
all
the play.
People, too. You never not sing.
Yeah, but you can't do it. Like, I remember I went to see, it was the Carole King story. I can't think of the name of it. But I went with Yuzette. And Yuzette is sitting beside me, and she's singing along with the actors. And I said, you can't sing. And she was pissed. But everyone was like, turning around, looking at her like, are you kidding me? She's singing, and I'm like, you can't sing. This isn't a sing-along. This is a performance that you're not in. And so apparently, here's what they're saying. There's a 30-second warning It's set to clips from the movie, and it says, no talking, no texting, no singing, no wailing, no flirting. Sometimes you can't help wailing. And absolutely no name calling. So they're trying to be funny about it, but they're saying, don't sing. And they say, so this is AMC. They say other theaters will undoubtedly enforce a similar policy. They say, but just like that Taylor Swift Eras Tour movie, which to me, that was a sing-along. If you went and saw that in the movie theater, you're watching a concert. Everybody sings at a concert. No one's stopping anybody from singing at a rock concert.
No, and that, yeah, that's so totally loud. Different. Right. In some cases, a singer, I don't know the Wicked play, but it could be without music. You know, a cappella. It might be I don't know.
Right.
I don't know those songs.
Please don't sing along. All right. So now on to these interesting Wicked movie facts. I put this, by the way, some of these more interesting than others, so I'm not going to do them all, but they're all up at the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. They're talking here in this story from BuzzFeed about Cynthia Erivo wearing prosthetic ears throughout the entire movie, not to like give them a different shape, but because I guess she has like huge holes all through her ears. Tons of piercings. And you know, all the way up and down the outer ridge of her ear as well. And I guess that they're obvious and they didn't want to have to, I don't know, put gum over them.
I get that.
So I'm looking at a picture of her going into makeup. The makeup took forever, every single day. And I'll get to that in a second. They planted and grew 9 million tulips to be part of the landscape for Munchkinland. Now, my guess is they did it over in Amsterdam where they're already growing all the tulips. And as you fly into Amsterdam, you are looking down at, or Holland, you're looking down at fields that are, this field is completely pink. This field is completely blue.
That's
this
awesome.
Field is completely yellow. It is incredible. If you arrive there at the right time of year. So what they did, and Vinny, I want you to come and look at this. So they plant 9 million tulip bulbs. And here, there's a shot. I'm looking at her boyfriend, Ethan Slater, dancing through the poppies there. He's a munchkin in the movie. Here, let me turn your mic on here. Which one is it? Is it this one? Yes, it is that one. All right, so he's there. And then this is some of the sets that they built. And then here.
That is beautiful.
They planted them in rows of like three or four. So it's like magenta with pink, then yellow, then a different color.
Purple, blue, all the colors.
It is.
Orange.
It's worth looking at this story just to see that picture. It's so gorgeous what they did.
So are you saying they did shoot in Holland?
I'm not. I'm saying that they are saying that they planted $9 million tulip bulbs and waited for them to bloom and shot these outdoor scenes. Now, my guess is that's where this happened because they're all set up for that there. That's how it rolls. Hmm. But they're not saying, they said they didn't want to have to CG them in. They were like, we want real patches of flowers. If they fall down in the flowers, we want the flowers to be real. So they did that. Let me see some of the other things here. I want to get to the makeup stuff. So Cynthia Erivo, who's green in this movie, she plays Elphaba. It took over 4 hours each morning to paint her body, that signature shade. And that really depended on what her costume was like for that day and how much of her skin needed to be visible. Like if they only had to do her head, neck, and hands, they could get that down to like 2 hours and 45 minutes. But if they had to spray it on elsewhere.
It's crazy that they go through that daily.
I know.
And knowing how long it takes to set up every scene, it feels like, oh, so it took a year to make this movie.
Right.
Easily, if not longer.
And it takes like 45 minutes to get all this off every day, too. So they also did a lot of it. They talk a lot about the paint that they wound up using and how much experimentation they had to do because they didn't want it to look like they had just painted her green. They wanted it to look like skin. And so they did all these different layers. They also talk about the costuming. They tried to do a green lining inside all of the costumes so that if the light caught it the right way, it glowed green as though her skin were green underneath it. Just sort of things you wouldn't think about until somebody lays them out in front of you.
Ariana Grande's Wicked film adaptation continues with a huge tulip field the size of 12 football pitches. So soccer,
right.
Planted in rural Norfolk.
Oh, in England?
As part of the extravagant set.
It is I mean, it's so beautiful. You should go and
the
they
set
did
is
it.
In the UK. That's it.
You should you should look. It's really beautiful. It's on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. And actually, I'm sure there's way more pictures than just what I'm seeing. But they show it all seems to be going to like almost a sinkhole where they built a village in the middle. It's so stunning. It's so beautiful. All right, so it looks like two Jonas Brothers auditioned to play Fierro. That role eventually went to Bridgerton's Jonathan Bailey.
Oh, burn.
Yeah, but Nick and Joe Jonas both auditioned to play Fierro.
Showed up and went, I'm here for my role. Wait, what?
I didn't get it. How is that possible?
You're a Jonas Brother.
People who auditioned to play Glinda, which in the end went to Ariana Grande, were Renee Rapp, the one who saved Drew Barrymore that day, walked her off the stage.
Okay.
Dove Cameron.
Cameron, you may not know who that is, but she is a Disney star. She's the star of The Descendants. She is spectacular, as like really talented young lady.
Beautiful.
I could have seen it going to her, but she's not. Grown-ups don't know who she is unless you've got kids.
I assume she sings too.
She sings great. Okay. Yeah, she's a great singer.
So it was also Amanda Seyfried. Was one of the people who auditioned for that. I know that. I think Ariana looks great as Glinda.
I didn't see it at first, but Goldblum being in there, I like him.
Yeah. Let me see if there's anything about him. So I'm actually, they're talking about all the costume design and all the things that I'm looking at. They didn't CG in things like the yellow brick road. They actually laid a yellow brick road. It's laid in sections.
That's great.
I know. It's really, and I'm looking at how they're spray painting this set for the Emerald City. It's really cool. It's worth, if you are excited for the movie, there's some pictures in this particular story up at the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page that I had not seen, and I thought, wow, people will love this. And I am out of time. Damn it. All right, what do you got
coming
up? The thing
I found about the sets is from the dailymail.com.
Do you have some pics?
They have all kinds of
shots.
Oh,
my God, great.
So these are the flowers that before they were moved on into position.
And look at that yellow field in the background. My God.
With the golden,
the yellow brick road.
Yeah, that.
Yeah. We'll put that up, too. Great.
It's just incredible. And there's all kinds of big, giant, in the set, the set, they're just gigantic.
What I love about this is I was excited to see this and I really can't wait to see it and know that a lot of it was actually built. That looks like a little village, a perfect little village with a yellow brick road that leads right through it. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Anyway, I'm sure there's going to be tons more of like, and here's how we made it.
Uh-huh.
Behind the scenes and more.
Right.
Anyway, I've got a bunch of news stories coming your way, including some good news.
Oh, I love good news.
Good news after these.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
You have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.
Doobie doobie doo. Wow, wow, whoa. Wow, 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 woo. It's Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Tickets for Alice in Winterland. They are completely sold out, but at 5:05 every day this week, Jane has a keyword for you to win tickets in the first five rows. We started in row five on Monday, and we're ending tomorrow in the front row. So it's second row Thursday today. It's sold out, and these tickets are courtesy of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 in theaters December 20th. Featuring OneRepublic, Andy Grammer, and Haven Madison. December 13th, Paramount Theater in Oakland. It's sponsored by Macy's. Meet you there.
What's up, everyone? This House Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. When the needs of our society increase, Fremont Bank Foundation ramps up its support towards basic human needs, education, arts and culture, and other causes. Go to FremontBank.com today to learn more info. Rain, snow, wind, we got it today. All the stuff, and it's going to go for a week. You want to know specifically in your neighborhood, check your app. Here's what's happening.
It sounds windy.
Survivor was spectacular last night. I just want to mention that. It was really...
can't wait to watch it.
It was a good one. Also, on TV. Pittsburgh will play Cleveland tonight. That's the 8-2 Steelers versus the 2-8 Browns.
Oh, that should be a good game.
Yeah. Ah. The Niners are in Green Bay on Sunday. Go Niners.
Go Niners.
That's a 1:25 game time in Green Bay. I don't know what the weather's doing there, but based on what we've got here, it'll probably be a nice day there.
Probably, right?
Like one of those. Like, are you kidding? Yeah. Green Bay is people in t-shirts. Super.
Shots and t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Should everyone have to retake their driver's license test at age 50?
No.
A study in Australia. Why not?
Because you shouldn't have to. Should never have
to. Are you afraid you'll fail?
Yes,
or do you,
I'm afraid I'll fail. Yes.
I mean, what would be the harm in everyone having to just, you know, look at the book, you know, the DMV handbook, refresh yourself, and go, I had to retake it when I came back to California.
Did you?
I did.
Hmm. You'd let it lapse.
Well, no, I had a license in Oregon for 4 years.
Right.
So when I came back, I had to redo the written test, not the driving test.
Oh, that's good.
And I aced it. It was easy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple things to look up in terms of the distances that where you want to put your blinker on before a turn or what. But in general, you know all this stuff.
Right.
You do it every day.
You've been driving.
It's no big deal. But wouldn't you want the person who can't pass it to be weeded out?
Yeah, my feeling is they'll just keep taking it until they pass it. I think the age for having to completely retake your driving test is 70. You should have to, and every couple of years after that, like you should have to state what your eyewear situation is. I mean, my Nana should have been off the road 15 years before she was. She drove through the front wall of the cottage that she lived in.
In general, I don't believe in living in a nanny state, as they call them.
Yeah, I know.
And yet, you'd do families big favors by getting involved and making an elderly person retest rather than them having to keep losing Nana's keys or disabling the car.
Yes.
So she's in the driveway going, it won't, what?
Well, and I get that it's an independence thing, but when someone is a danger, like what about that old guy who wound up, he stepped on the gas instead of the brake and went through like a street fair.
Mm-hmm.
That like, was down in Santa Monica that one time.
Horrible.
Yes, it was.
Like
yeah.
That, I'm sorry, but you're not wanting to confront grandpa over his terrible, terrible driving is not.
But then you got my dad who's 90 and still drives great.
And he
will pass his test.
Oh, he would absolutely pass his test.
The thing is, I do feel like taking tests, you're nervous, especially if you really need to drive. You're like, oh no, now I got to take this test. Now you're nervous and you're shaking and you're old and.
You know what, though? Mm. I'm with you. Different people have different reactions to different stuff. But retaking the test was freaking easy. Mm. It's not. If you're sweating over retaking the test in your 40s or 50s, maybe it is something you need to do. Because honestly, you'll walk right up and ace it. You will.
I just went through this with a motorcycle. Took the classes, took the test. But after I got done the test, I'm like, I'm not great at this. I don't.
Oh.
I need to practice
so
more before I get.
So you have a motorcycle license.
I've got. I just need to go and cash it in. Basically, you get
like a certification.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what's weird about what you're saying right now? So I was looking at. There's my friend Jason Cisco. You guys know him. He has something called a Suron, and it is a non-street legal e-bike that you can. It almost looks like a little motorcycle, but it's electric. And it's light. It's not a motorcycle in terms of the weight, but mm-hmm. it looks like one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking him, I saw one on the street the other day, like a guy just driving it on the street.
And in the lane, not in the
in
bike
the
lane?
In the regular lane.
Okay.
And I took a picture of it. I texted it to him later and I said, hey, is this the thing you have? And he goes, yeah, that's not legal.
Him being in the lane.
He's not supposed to be out there. I don't ride mine that way because I don't want to lose. I don't want no trouble.
Mm.
And he's like, but the kids today. I was like, well, bro, I mean, think
kids
of the
are
things we
this.
Did when we were set. And he's like, oh, yeah, right. I mean, I drove my car on the curb,
yeah.
on the sidewalk. I didn't think twice about it. I'm like, I got to get around this person.
You really were ruining it.
I was just going for it. You know, I mean, that's
get around this guy, but to go up on the sidewalk.
I don't know, you know, how that all plays out. Like the e-bikes, like this one doesn't have the mirrors that it's supposed to have.
Mm. So mine has huge mirrors.
Oh, your e-bike does.
Mine is an e-bike. It only goes 22 miles an hour, whatever. And that's if I got to make it. I got to pedal it to do that.
I guess my point is there you are getting your motorcycle license, and I don't even know what you'd need to be on the street with some of these e-bikes.
Right.
Do you need a motorcycle license for that?
I don't think for that, but I think you just pointed out, like, if I'd taken this when I was 17, I wouldn't think twice about, like, oh, I wasn't good at the test, I'm not going to go out riding. I would have been like, well, I got my license,
I'm
going
to
go ride.
I'm free.
But at age 51, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to die.
I love living. And, it's so great.
I need a little, I want to be good at this before I
Back to my story. A study in Australia found it would make roads safer if people had to retake their test at age 50. They cited stats showing 19% of fatal crashes involve people under 25, but 21% involve people over 65. The fact that our eyesight and reactions get worse is part of it, but also about bad driving habits, like not using turn signals, not checking blind spots. Often, one of the things that I know it's like the reality of driving in the city, that there are pedestrians jumping out onto the street.
Looking to be hit.
And they'll, every time, they'll just yell at the car.
Right,
these are my roads. One of the things that happens, and I'm very careful with it, like I drove the minivan in today.
Uh-huh.
It has the biggest blind spot up front.
Where the windshield is.
The windshield bar comes down. You've got a blind spot for pedestrians.
Ooh,
and right. So you have to be really careful that you find another viewpoint. Otherwise, you'd pull out and probably hit someone.
My Nana, the one who drove into a cottage, she was like, you know, my neck hurts. I just put on my blinker and then I go. I'm like, oh my God, Nana.
Anyway.
She's like, I can't do it.
After 30 plus years of those habits going unchecked, they can get set in stone. And this might be why more people crash at 65 than at 25. So it's just a thing.
Yeah.
I thought I'd mention it. It certainly would help the families with elderly drivers
with nanas out there
deal with them.
Right. It does. It adds to a family's workload too. Like if grandpa can't drive himself to the thing, or grandma to the thing that they need to go do, now someone's got to go get them and help them do it. It's a rough one. It's hard getting old.
An ice skating rink in England is in the news after a worker lost his phone and had to borrow his daughter's pink iPhone for the day.
Oh.
Then he lost her phone.
What's his problem with the phones?
He does know where it is. He just can't get it now. I'm going to show you a photo of where his daughter's iPhone ended up. This is an ice.
Okay, well, it's frozen in the ice. So what did they Zamboni right over it and seal it in there?
It is.
So what are they going to do? Just they'll chip that out of there and put some water in and let it refreeze.
No. In fact, they say here. So again, this is an ice skating rink in England, and it's in the news because a worker lost his phone, borrowed his daughter's, and her phone ended up lost, but it ended up in the ice as they had set the rink for the holidays. He didn't realize he dropped it. It's frozen now in the ice, and they say, we're not going to be able to get to that because they'd have to completely undo the whole thing
and redo it, right?
The whole surface. So it's going to be stuck in the ice for the next 2 months. He had to buy his daughter a replacement phone.
And himself.
And they say the good news is local tourists are now coming out to see the phone in the ice.
This is funny.
We'll look at anything,
my immediate thought was, oh God, they got to go get just a bunch of iPhone cases in all different colors and put them in every, I don't know what I'm thinking. I guess I want my ice skating rink to go viral. That's really funny though. Because I actually do want to go see it.
No, you don't.
All right, I just want to go to England.
More great news, everyone.
Oh, tell me everything.
Bathhouses are back.
Oh, yeah?
What?
Wow. That was a reaction.
SF bathhouses could be back after Supes remove these regulations from law that had been put in place back in the 80s when the AIDS epidemic was happening.
Oh.
So I guess there was one left after these rules that were put in place, but a supervisor Raphael Mandelman just got those restrictions stripped away. Gay bathhouses were raging sex and social scenes in SF Soma and Tenderloin neighborhoods up until the HIV/AIDS crisis in the 80s.
Oh, boy.
When AIDS fears and a wave of strict new regulations pretty much shut them all down. This guy is saying that times have changed.
Yeah.
And it's time to re-legalize queer bathhouses in San Francisco.
Yeah, I wonder if Scott Capurro knows about this.
Now, listen to this. By 2020, with treatments for HIV and capital P, lowercase r, capital E, capital P, PrEP?
Is that a course of treatment that they give to people with the, like, is that part of the
cocktail? I had to look it up because I was like, what are they talking about here? They say the pre-exposure medicines.
Ah,
so you
like
take...
Sort of a vaccine.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So you can take this in advance
of the bathhouse.
Like you can
experience.
Just be on it, I guess. I don't really know all the details, but I had to look up what that was, and it's pre-exposure medicine to keep you from catching it in the first place. Anyway,
that's good news.
It is
Jeez
good news.
Louise. We really have come a long way with that. Holy.
They say. A whole lot of knowledge and treatments for HIV and pre-treatments for HIV it no longer makes sense. From a public health perspective, these bathhouses should be back and we can regulate them and people, then they'll be big business. I wonder, I don't know. I know we've talked to Scott about all kinds of different stuff, but he was here in the 80s and probably experiencing like the height of all that,
yeah,
right?
Yes. I
would
was
say remind
things,
me to ask him, but I'll remember to ask him. I know I will. Yeah. So I'll ask him when
you
he
know,
comes.
He was was texting with me this morning about, because I'm always in a convo with him. He wanted to come on and say hi for Thanksgiving. And I just didn't write him back.
Mm. Well, anyway, there's something.
But I suppose we
to
could.
Look forward to.
Yeah, sure. Mm.
The gay bathhouses will be back.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I won't be. I'm not looking forward to that. I like that's great. I mean, Maddie, it sounds like you're looking forward to it. Your reaction
you're a young man and you live in the Bay Area and the gay bathhouses are back, wouldn't you be like, I cannot wait to go experience
the gay bathhouses?
I'm not going to experience them, but I'm very happy for my brothers who are homosexual and mm-hmm. can enjoy the bathhouses again. And that might open the door for some straight bathhouses and, you know, I might be down for that.
Well, in Japan, there's lots of bathhouses, and I think there's like a women's side and a men's side. Go bathe with other people. It's like a thing.
So you're saying I could go on the women's side? And that's really the point. I don't want to...
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not... I mean, I'm just saying, if you wanted to experience a bathhouse, go to Japan, I guess, is what
okay.
I'm trying to say.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Right. Our text number is 800-400-3697. Here's some of the stuff you guys said. PrEP is, and then in parentheses, not really, but basically 100% guard against HIV.
Oh.
It's one pill a day.
For every day you take this one pill. So if you are a sexually active person.
And you don't want to wear protection.
Right.
You can take this
medicine. Or
even
if you do and you're just paranoid about it.
Okay.
You can take it. That's interesting.
If you're paranoid, you're not going to you're not a bathhouser.
Well, they're illegal. Maybe you are a bathhouser, but you just don't know.
I'm saying if you're paranoid, I think if you're young and you're...
Maybe
you know,
just like, I just want to get clean. Can you guys get off of me?
Just want to go have some fun. I can see where that'd be great. But if you're someone who's walking around all paranoid, I don't know. Anyway, that story about... let's see here. That story about tourists coming to see the phone reminds me of the sidewalk in Chicago with the impression of a rat. So many people were... What?
Oh, as in like when they were rolling over there was a rat stuck in the cement. That's hideous.
That is hideous. So many people were coming to see the rat hole. Yuck.
There it is. I just pulled it up on the screen for you guys. And it is a squashed outline of a squash rat on
a
piece of concrete.
What a horrible way to go.
And then you're going to go see that.
Why did they put M&Ms in it? I don't know. What am I looking at here?
I don't think those are M&Ms.
Well, why do they have little white dots in it?
I don't know, but I'll put this on the Facebook page and people
can
lose.
No, don't do that.
Okay, I won't put it.
I feel like you shouldn't.
No Class M license needed for e-bikes. The industry grew faster than regulations, and there is a big pushback on changing them now.
Oh.
Says 925.
Well, I will say that the kids, the 11-year-olds with two other 11-year-olds hanging off the back and no helmets, just cruising down the streets in my town and on the sidewalks. I mean, I had to jump off the sidewalk to get away from kids. Like, oh, God, here they come. Like, it's really, someone's going to.
You do that when kids are walking,
that's
too,
true.
Though.
I mean,
like
I actually usually, but I have time. I can be like, can I just hide behind the tree? Should I just squat down between two cars? You know, jumping out of the way of a moving vehicle on the sidewalk that's, like, bristling with children. I just wonder how it's, someone is going to die off of that. And then what? I just don't want them to ban them completely because I use my e-bike all the time.
I've, for the first time, started thinking I could probably put one to good use. Mm. I would like it.
They're great. You and Christina should each get one with one of those attachments on the back where the kids are. It's so fun for them.
I don't know.
Go on, pull on rides. It's so great.
What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
Winnie. Vinny. Winnie. Winnie. Vinny.
Are you talking to me or
yeah, you? Oh. Vinny.
Winnie.
It's almost Christmas.
Yeah.